Several Caribbean islands bracing for a major storm that's already forced schools and businesses in Barbados to shut down.
Tropical Storm Dorian is still a little more than 200 miles away from Barbados, but continues moving quickly to the west and should be impacting the Windward Islands later today. Currently, the winds are holding at 60 miles an hour, but they're expected to strengthen, and Dorian will reach hurricane status later this week. The storm will weaken after that point, but could get close to Florida by the end of the week or early next week. In Miami, Eben Brown, Fox News.
The Turkish defense minister says Russia will resume the delivery of its advanced missile defense system this week. Turkey took delivery of the first part of the Russian system last month, despite strong objections from the U.S. Washington says the Russian system is incompatible with NATO and promises a threat to U.S.-led F-35 fighter jet programs. It's halted sales of the jets to Turkey in response. Turkey says the missiles are needed to defend the country from aerial and missile threats. You could stores soon inside a popular retailer.
Target is hoping to bring the magic of Mickey Mouse and Goofy to its own customers by opening Disney shops in a cluster of its stores this fall. As part of a new partnership with the Walt Disney Company, the discounter says it'll open 25 of the stores in October, with the remaining locations opening in 2020. Target says each store will be located near children's clothing and merchandise and will feature more than 450 items. Financial terms were not disclosed. Chris DeMeo, Fox News.
The U.S. lobster industry has taken a hit ever since China placed heavy tariffs on American lobster and other food products. This year through June, the U.S. exported about 80% fewer lobster to China than the same period the year before. Meanwhile, the Canadian lobster business is booming because China is buying nearly double the amount of lobster from Canada as it did last year. I'm Rich Dennison, and this is Fox News.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? Hey, Kevin Wall here. I'm happy to inform you there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. There are no networks, so you choose your doctor and hospital. Liberty HealthShare allows you to easily decide how, when, and where you will access health care. It could be the best practical, moral, and economical choice for you and your family. Starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family, that's mom, dad, and all kids. This is the way healthcare should be. For information, call 855-585-4237. That's 855-585-4237. Or visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org. And regain control over your healthcare costs. Together, we're changing healthcare for good.
Washington, D.C. I got a lot of evil there, but we're getting it out step by step. A lot of evil. A lot of bad people. A lot of bad people. A lot of fake media. Look at them. A lot of fake media. NBC is perhaps worse than CNN, I have to tell you. And MSNBC is horrible.
Check it out!
It's 1999. I'm on Meet the Press, a show now headed by Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd. He's a sleeping son of a bitch, I'll tell you.
That sounds awfully harsh. Why can't you be a little more supportive?
Number one, time is running out. Number two, time is running out. Number three, time is running out. Number four,
ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Fun lovers and truth seekers, you have come to the right place. It's live and local now for a Monday, brand new week. We're just 2 weeks removed from a possible teacher strike in the Clark County School District, the fifth largest school district in the nation. Is it just a matter of there's not enough money? Or is the money there and we've just got a lot of politics going on? A guy that has been following this, he's been writing about it. He's a three-time-a-week columnist for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. He is Victor Jakes. He is our friend, and he is back after a couple of weeks' vacation, and he joins us. First of all, how was vacation?
Oh, it was great. It was really nice to get away.
Well, I took Friday off, but it was after having oral surgery on Thursday, And so mine was not quite a vacation in the truest sense of the word. You had a real vacation. Where'd you guys go?
We went to Boise. We met up with some family there and had a really nice time.
Oh, excellent. So now your batteries are recharged and you're ready to go.
Ready to get back at it.
You wrote about this possibility of a teacher strike. They have set a date of September 10th, which, if my math is right, means like what? 2 weeks from today?
2 weeks from tomorrow.
2 weeks from tomorrow, excuse me. What do you make of this? First of all, why are they talking strike? We did a recreational marijuana, which was for the kids and for education. There's all this money floating around. We hear that there's $250 million in some mysterious account. Why is this happening?
Well, there's lots of reasons, but the most fundamental is that, you know, the Clark County School District received $150 million more this year than last year with the same number of students, if not a little bit decreased. But the problem is that every time you give the school district money, the unions say, well, that's great, and I want a little bit more. And so you literally cannot satisfy the unions because they'll just say, well, how much do you have? Okay, we want more. And so this is what's happening, and this is why it keeps happening and why people are so frustrated and why people think, well, we just have never funded it because it always seems like we're just a little bit short. You know, we're just, what are they talking about here? $20 million a year for 2 years, you know, out of a, you know, $2.5 billion budget is not a lot of money. But the problem is they're always going to be a little bit short because no matter how much they offer, the union is going to say, that's great, we want a little bit more.
But the governor promised, and the legislature delivered on a 2% across the board raise, a 3% raise. So they've gotten 5% in raises in one legislative session.
Well, 5% in raises plus 4% increase in the healthcare contribution, plus the district has to pay higher PERS expenses that the teachers have to share half of that. I mean, there is a lot of new money going to the school district, and it is funny. The teachers union here, the Clark County Education Association, really backs Sisolak. They said, you know, get Sisolak in there, and he's gonna fix education. And so, it is worth pointing out, you know, that Sisolak ran as the education governor. Democrats have unified control of state government for 9 months, and we're talking about a teacher strike. So let's just be a little more cautious there. The next time the Democrats say, oh, we're the party of education, we're the party of education. But regardless, the fundamental problem is the collective bargaining process.
So who is screwing up here? We've got all this money. We've got have you heard of this money? I've been told by some people it's as much as $250 million that's sitting in an account earmarked for nothing. It's just sitting.
That's good, by the way. I mean, people will say that like, oh, we should blow this money out. But no, we should not blow this money out.
And this, by the way, is not to be confused with the Rainy Day Fund, which has in excess of $300 million.
Yeah, and that's good, right?
I mean, so it's not like the government doesn't have any money.
Yes, the government has money. But if they had allocated another $40 million to the Clark County School District, the union would have just simply upped their demands. And the new variable here is that the Clark County Education Association Executive Director, John Velardita, really seems to want a strike. You know, he does not want to play nice. He wants to go and get all he can for his members. And in some ways, you certainly understand that because that is, after all, his job. And when the legislature creates a broken system, I mean, he's there taking full advantage of it. That's the variable, is that he's being much more aggressive than the other unions. And he has a lot to lose potentially, because now that now that they've set a strike date, the law allows the district to decertify them, which would mean they're no longer the bargaining unit. And so basically, you know, the district could end this at any time by just decertifying the union. And so he's, you know, it's like a poker game where everyone sees everyone else's hands, and he's got the losing hand, but he's pushed so much money into the pot that the school district's like, well, I'm not sure I want to get involved in that pot because it's so big. But it's like, you have the winning hand. You just decertify the union, and this all goes away. They can also go to court and get an injunction. But basically, he's betting.
And by the way, this is by state law, or is
state
this by the previous collective bargaining
agreement? State law. State law is very clear. that unions do not have the right to strike. In order to become a union, you have to vow not to strike in any circumstances, in any circumstances. And the law says that if a union disavows that pledge, then the local government can decertify them, take away their certification, take away the fact that they represent all of those teachers. And that's
can anybody go to jail for something like this?
Well, that's the second option, is the district can go to court and they can get an injunction, and the injunction can fine the union $50,000 a day. They can fine the union's leaders $1,000 a day and send them to jail until the strike is over. So we may end up with John Velardia in jail, which I'm sure he would enjoy greatly.
You mentioned the other unions. What is different here than in other states is that we've got a division among our unions. The statewide teachers union versus the Clark County Education Association. You've got other unions, and they're not all in agreement about this strike, are they?
Yeah, no one else is agreeing with them. I mean, there is this dynamic where the local union here, the Clark County Education Association, split away from the Nevada State Education Association, which was affiliated with the National Education Association. So there's bad blood there. And the NSEA represents the support staff workers, the ESEA, and they've said, no, we're not going to strike. We're happy with the 2% and the 5% raises and the health care increase. The administrators union is not going to strike. I mean, the police union has, a couple hundred maybe people, and it's not very substantial. I haven't heard from them, but I'm guessing they're not striking. And the reason is clear, right? I mean, the strikes are illegal. There's no gray area in the law. They are plainly illegal.
So how does John Velardia explain that? I mean, how does he rationalize going out on strike when it's against the law?
He basically, I mean, these aren't his words. These are my interpretation of his words. But he basically says, teachers, they're not going to fire you because they have a teacher shortage. And we're betting they don't have the guts to stop us. I mean, that's it. They're betting that, the public will rally behind them, that, in Arizona and Oklahoma and West Virginia, that, there was these teacher strikes and basically the teachers won, even though it was illegal there too. And I don't know. I mean, we'll see. I think the bigger thing I would be concerned about if I was him is that I'm not going to have very many teacher strike. That I'm going to have, 3,000 out of 8,000, 18,000 walk out, and basically it's going to be an embarrassment because the schools are still wide open.
How many teachers are we short right now today?
They say 750 teachers that they, would like to hire but aren't able to fill.
You take 1,000 out of the classroom as is, okay, in addition to the 750, then that leaves you 1,750. What do the kids do on September 11th? What do they do when they come and they find that 1,000 teachers have walked off the job?
It's going to be interesting because it's going to be interesting to see basically how teachers walk out. I feel like some schools you're not going to have very much participation from teachers, administrators that I've talked to. Basically, they said, our teachers
that they'll cross a picket line.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, look, only 54% of teachers are even members of the union. So 46% are not members. CCA held a strike vote. They have about 10,000 members. They had 5,000 members show up for the vote, and 4,000 of them said yes, let's go on strike. I mean, so this is not an overwhelming mass of teachers saying, look, we really want to go on strike. I mean, this is very much being pushed by the union, by John Velardita. My take is he basically thinks this is going to make him famous, going to make the union famous, going to bring all this national attention to them. And so it'll be interesting. So the district, if a school has, only 20% of their teachers gone, I think they'll just break those kids up and send them to other classrooms, break those classes up and send them to other classrooms. If there are a couple of schools where, 80% of the teachers walk off, I think they'll bus them to other schools. They could redeploy teachers from, a school where that's got 90% of teachers showing up to a school with 30 or 40% of teachers showing up. But I just really don't think they're going to have enough people walk off the job to shut down the school district.
More coming up. Victor Jakes, three-time-a-week columnist for the Las Vegas Review-Journal, joining us. We're talking about an impending teacher strike. The date set, September 10th, 2 weeks from tomorrow, is when the walkout would begin. We'll find out who has failed our children. when we're talking about a strike just over 2 weeks away, who is it? Who is it that has failed our kids? Is it the governor? Is it the legislature? The teachers' union? The leadership of the teachers' union? Or teachers in the Clark County School District? We'll talk about that and more coming up live and local now. Hey, Kevin Wall here. A few months ago, a friend invited me for a Tuesday evening of fun at Ichabod's Lounge. Ichabod's isn't in my neighborhood, and yeah, I had to drive an extra 10 minutes, but boy, am I glad I did. What I didn't know at the time was that Ichabod's has been there for 31 years and family-owned for 19 years. It's one of the top gaming bars in Las Vegas with the best promotions and amazing monthly cash giveaways and payouts. As they say at Ichabod's, we manage with generosity. Ichabod's features incredible menu items, including steaks, seafood, burgers, pasta, and 5 daily specials. And their kitchen's open 24 hours for you late-night foodies. And I just love Ichabod's old-school Vegas atmosphere. When everybody else is cutting back, Ichabod's continues to super serve its customers. Check out their nightly entertainment at the Piano Bar from 6:30 to 10:30. You want to win? You want to have fun? Then I'll see you at Ichabod's Vintage Vegas Dining, Gaming Lounge, and Piano Bar on East Flamingo at Pecos.
Hi, this is Chelsea Torres, Communications Director with Laborers Union Local 872. Laborers Local 872 is a construction union that strives to obtain more job opportunities for workers and employers. Local 872 is involved in issues that affect our daily lives, from creating good jobs to providing skilled job training, protecting health care, negotiating livable wages, ensuring safe job sites, providing safe neighborhoods for families, and honoring veterans and retirees. Laborers build everything you see on the Las Vegas Strip, from skyscrapers to casinos to stadiums. Laborers work in the tunnels and on the highways. We remediate buildings and make them safe by removing hazardous materials like asbestos and lead. With a legacy of hard work and getting things done, laborers are skilled, productive, proud, and diverse men and women who are building a stronger Nevada. Local 872 loves the Southern Nevada community, and we look forward to continuing to build a better future for all of us. Vegas strong, union proud.
Mayhem is everywhere.
I'm a gravel truck. I'm busy laying the foundation for your city's newest suburb. And since it's such a nice day out, I thought I'd go topless. With 20 tons of pebbles loaded into my trailer bed, what's the worst that could happen? Now you're stuck behind me, and I'm about to make it rain. Rocks. Uh-oh, maybe I should have put a tarp over that. Now you're swerving, but there's no avoiding this downpour. Better watch out for that guardrail. And if your cut rate insurance doesn't cover this, you could get pelted with repair bills. So get Allstate, where agents help protect you from mayhem. Like me.
For a free quote, call Las Vegas Allstate agent Sam Peters today at 702-870-4000. That's 702-870-4000, or stop by either of Sam's convenient Las Vegas locations. Subject to terms, conditions, availability, and coverage selected.
See what the personal service of an Allstate agent can do for you. Are you in good hands?
Roberto's Taco Shop. Real Mexican food you like.
In Las Vegas, no one needs to remind you about Wednesdays at Roberto's Taco Shop. Indeed, it's a $1.29 chicken taco day. Ah, grande, juicy, crunchy taco. Loaded with hot, savory chicken, crispy lettuce, and mounds of cheese. All for just $1.29 each.
Roberto's Taco Shop. Real Mexican food you like.
Oh, yeah. I like what they've done to my Wednesdays.
For years now, I've been telling you how I love the great smooth taste of Real Water. I also love the convenience and cost savings of their home delivery service. Real Water has upped its game again with Real Water Concentrate. Just a few squirts of the Real Water Concentrate, and you can transform any good purified water into Real Water. To learn more, just go to my website, KevinWallRadio.com. That's KevinWallRadio.com, and click on the Real Water icon at the top right of the page. Now, you can get Real Water anytime, anyplace, on the go.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
All across the state of Nevada and in SoCal, too, it's live and local now. The fifth largest school district in the nation. Teachers union leaders, John Villardita in particular, the head of the Clark County Education Association, is threatening a strike on September 10th, 2 weeks from tomorrow. And the money is there, but they can't get the money to the teachers the way the teachers want it. There is not consensus even among teachers, where only 54% are members of the union. Victor Jakes joining us, a three-time-a-week columnist for the Las Vegas Review-Journal, and you wrote over the weekend. What kind of angle did you take?
Well, what I said is the school district should be thrilled about this because they can decertify the union. You know, they've disavowed their pledge not to strike, and you can get rid of the union. And I think the benefit of this, obviously in the short term, the strike goes away because you're not negotiating with the union anymore. But the real thing is when you talk to Jara, Superintendent Jesus Jara, he really wants to push kind of more pay for performance. And that's not his term, so I don't want to say it's his term. But I think he would like to link funding with accountability. That he sees, you know, look, we can't just keep asking for more money and not be able to say, look, we're delivering, you know, an improved product. And so to do that, I mean, right now he has to go to the union, has to beg and say, please, 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 let us somehow link funding to accountability. And if the union says no, he's toast. I mean, he basically doesn't have the authority to implement it. And so if you get rid of the union, all of a sudden you've got the authority to implement your plans. And, you know, whatever you think of the superintendent's plans, and some I've agreed with, some I haven't agreed with, he is a superintendent, and it's a terrible system where you hire a superintendent and he doesn't have the authority to implement his vision. I mean, that's just a bad system.
I want to ask you about column raises. We've seen that in some of the reporting. Explain what the column system is and how it plays into this.
So, I mean, the teacher pay chart is basically an Excel spreadsheet, and you start all the way over on the left, and it's a teacher with a bachelor's degree, and that's a column. And then there's steps, which is you move down the column, and you get about a 2-3% raise for moving down the column. And then if you move to the right and you move columns, and you get that by completing continuing education, professional development. It used to be just basically getting your master's and continuing your education. Then you get a bigger increase, which would be about a $5,500, $5,700 increase for moving a column.
Okay. I want to ask you, because to me, trust is one of the issues that seems to be in play here. That teachers, if you talk to teachers, and I have, they say that they feel like they've been lied to, they've been promised this, promised that, they've had, you know, salaries frozen, and then when there is lots of money, they don't seem to be getting the benefits. Is there a trust issue involved here, and who's not being trusted? Is it the governor? Is it the school board, the board of trustees?
Well, yeah, there's certainly a trust issue. I mean, I don't think... You know, and I think that the fundamental problem with the pay for the teachers is that, you know, you basically are chasing a piece of paper to get paid more. It's not where, look, I've done a great job in my classroom. I'm going to go get a good performance review and I'm going to get paid more money. That's not how it works. I mean, you can have terrible performance reviews, and if you continue getting your master's, getting your PhD, getting your national board certification, you are going to get paid more no matter how good you are in the classroom. And so I think the more fundamental issue is, look, we aren't linking performance to pay. And it's very difficult to do. And teachers will say, well, look, I've got special ed kids. You know, my kids are starting low. I'm in a low-income school.
ELL,
all true. But fundamentally, I think that's where the issue comes. But then you can look at, you know, the more immediate issues. I mean, basically, you know, the union, right, promised Sisolak's getting elected, we are on easy street. Sisolak gets elected, says he offers these 3% raises, does not fund these 3% raises. The school district has to go to the legislature and say, hey, by the way, he didn't give us the money for the 3% raises, which is 100% true. So Sisolak did not deliver as being like I'm just going to throw all the money at the school district. Did not deliver it. Democrats in the legislature did not deliver it. And then worse, he said, but the money I give you, you have to use in a certain way. You have to use in this to give everyone a 3% raise. And the school district says, well, okay, we do that. And the thing is, the school district shouldn't agree to that, right? The governor does not set the school board agenda. They negotiate their own contracts. Now, obviously, he is desperate for it because it's a political issue for him. But the school district should say, no, we're going to do columns. and then we'll give a 1% just across the board increase.
What happens on September the 10th? We'll get to that in just a couple minutes. Victor Jenks, three-time a week columnist for the Las Vegas Review Journal, joining us. He's going to stick around, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay,
absolutely. My name is Kevin Wall, the program live and local now.
From the Fox Business Network, Wall Street doesn't have a case of the Mondays. Stocks surging after President Trump at the G7 summit announced China wants to resume trade negotiations.
I think they very much want to make a deal, and the longer they wait, the harder it is to put it back, if it can be put back at all. So I believe they want to do a deal. The tariffs have hit them very hard in a fairly short period of time.
Markets took a dive Friday after China and the U.S. announced new tariffs on each other's imports. Disney stores are coming to a different store. The Walt Disney Company teaming up with Target to open Disney shops in Target stores. 25 of the shop-in-shop stores will open at select Target stores nationwide on October 4th. And it's that time of year again for coffee lovers. Starbucks Pumpkin Spice Latte returns tomorrow, but this year the coffee chain will sell a pumpkin cream cold brew as well. Prices start at $4.45 for a grande, but vary by location. With the Fox Business Report, I'm Steve Rappaport.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. President Trump says China's President Xi is a smart, great leader and that a trade deal will be worked out.
He can't lose 3 million jobs in a very short period of time, and that's going to be magnified many times over. And it's going to break down the Chinese system of trade, and he can't do that.
The president at the G7 summit in France also saying he's not looking for regime change in Iran.
And I really believe that Iran can be a great nation. I'd like to see that happen, but they can't have nuclear weapons.
The president's on his way back to Washington now. The former entertainment executive Harvey Weinstein back in court in New York pleading not guilty to two more sexual assault charges.
At least one of those involves Sopranos actress Annabella Shora, accusing Weinstein of raping her inside her New York City apartment in 1993. Weinstein continues to deny all accusations of non-consensual sex.
Fox's Tanya J. Powers in New York. America's listening to Fox News.
The Fox News Rundown is a weekday morning podcast that dives deep into the major and controversial stories of the day. Hosted by the anchors of Fox News Radio. Subscribe now to hear a perspective of news you won't find anywhere else. Listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com. Living the Bream is a podcast hosted by Fox News Channel's Shannon Bream, sharing inspirational stories, personal anecdotes, and an insider's perspective on actions and rulings from the High Court. Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com. America's listening to Fox News. Brett Baer.
When someone watches the news, they want someone they can trust. Our job is to cut through the talking points.
Martha McCallum.
We're going to ask the tough questions because there's a lot of conventional wisdom out there that needs to be challenged.
Shannon Bream.
What I'm doing is making sure that whatever is developed through the day, people are fully informed from coast to coast.
We're 24/7 news, but we're really down to the minute.
We're going
to
be fearless. We're going to be fair. Whether it's 4 a.m. or midnight, we're there.
Fox News Channel. Real news, real honest opinion.
Hiring people is probably the worst part of my job. It's such a hassle, the searching, the sorting through resumes. Most people don't have the right experience.
We started using ZipRecruiter about 3 months ago. Right from the start, you could tell it was going to make hiring a lot easier. One click and my job was posted to 100+ job boards, all the top sites.
All of the candidates came to my dashboard, and it's easy to compare them. Thumbs up if I liked them, thumbs down if I didn't. No emails and attachments, printing up docs, phone calls, none of that.
And I couldn't believe the number of great applicants we got. I had the person we needed within 1 week. I don't know how we hired before ZipRecruiter.
Whether you're looking to fill one position or 20, find the best candidates with ZipRecruiter, where your job is just one click away from 100+ job sites. ZipRecruiter, the fastest way to hire. And right now you can try ZipRecruiter free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/radio offer. That's ZipRecruiter.com/radio offer. ZipRecruiter.com/radio offer.
You don't have to deliver 15 tons of food to the hungry.
10 ounces.
You don't have to dedicate your life to saving lives.
You just dedicate 15 minutes.
You don't need to provide guidance to 5,000 young men and women.
Just one will do.
You don't have to build a school in an impoverished area to change a child's life.
Just spend an hour a week reading at one.
The men and women of America's Navy do some amazing things to make the world a better place. But then again, so can millions of everyday Americans right in their own backyards. Brought to you by America's Navy.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
We are your radio program of record. We are live and local now all across the state of Nevada, in SoCal, in Palm Springs, Palm Desert, Indian Wells. I absolutely love it, and we are the program that deals with the tough issues like education and the possibility of a teacher strike September 10th, 2 weeks from tomorrow. And what we are looking at is a district that is already 750 teachers short. I've never for the life of me understood how a business can say, we know that on August 12th, school's going to be back in session. The summer, you know, vacation is going to be over. We need to fill how many thousands of teacher openings? Well, then you get to the last week, and they say, well, we have 750 teacher vacancies. That means student teachers, not student teachers, substitute teachers, excuse me, are going to be in these classrooms. How good are they? They're only being paid $90 a day. Victor Jakes, three-time-a-week columnist for the Las Vegas Review-Journal, joining us. Let's look ahead to September 10th. Let's assume that the union doesn't get everybody to go out on strike. But 5-6 teachers per school, those are openings that are unaccounted for. What happens to the kids? District says they're not going to turn away any kid that comes to school.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what will happen. I mean, I feel fairly confident. I mean, I feel very confident that there will not be, kids who it's like, oh, you know, we can't have you here. You know, it's closed. There's no one here. I think the district's going to work it out. You know, whether they move teachers to different schools, whether they send kids to different schools, I'm sure there will be some headaches. Obviously, there will be some headaches, but I just don't think the union is going to be able to get enough teachers to walk out to make it where the district says, you know, throws their hands up and says we're closed.
Do you see in these final 2 weeks, do you see a situation where the governor will call a special session, where the interim finance committee will come together and say, hey, we need an extra $40, $50 million in the Clark County School District. Okay, here it is.
You know, I think it really depends on kind of where the blame falls. The governor held a press conference at 4 on Friday and basically threw the district under the bus. I mean, completely under the bus. He said, you know, it's their fault. They're supposed to negotiate. It's a local issue. I shouldn't be getting involved. The district didn't give us, the right number at the legislative session, which, you know, I thought was really pretty pathetic. I mean, the district does not set their own funding, right? I mean, the district takes the money, and they were the ones pointed out to basically everyone that the governor didn't provide enough money for the 3% raises. So when the governor's up there saying, I'm giving you this much money, but you have to spend it in this way, now go figure it out because you don't have enough money. No, that's your responsibility. I mean, look, if the district said, we'll do a 1.5% across the board increase and we'll pay columns. They could do that, except the governor is up there saying, no, you have to do 3% because that's my big political promise that I funded teachers. And basically, you know, Sisolak is being exposed as, you know, making all these grand promises as, you know, oh, he's the education governor. He's the one who really cares. He finally funded it. No, didn't happen.
So what happens if the legislature or the governor or some combination therewith simply said, hey, to the teachers union, here's a pot of money. You divvy it up the way you want to divvy it up. If it's 5% across the board, or if it's column raises, or whatever method they choose, let them essentially choose how they're going to divvy this money up.
Well, I mean, normally that's what happens. Normally, the state sets a funding amount, and they send it to the school district, and the school district and the union get together and sort out how the money's divvied up. But you know what's different is Sisolak came in basically promising, I'm going to really take care of the teachers, and the teachers union said, you know, look, this is the guy, right? We're spending $1 million to get him elected, and he didn't deliver, and neither side wants to point the finger at the other one. So they're blaming the school district.
So explain the news conference on Friday. I was still in the throes of oral surgery and all of that stuff, but explain what the news conference, what the governor said. Did he have a fix for this or what?
No, he said he basically tried to wash his hands of it. He basically said, you know, it's a local issue. We gave CCSD all the money they requested at the legislative session. And the overtone of it was, it's the district's fault. They need to figure it out. They need to find out the money. I don't want to have to deal with it. Don't blame me. That was the real message. Don't blame me. I'm innocent. And it's basically political CYA. I mean, that's what they're trying to do.
So who screwed up here? Let's do the postmortem before the patient is dead. But who is it that screwed up here? Is it the school? Is it the Board of Trustees that they didn't give the people in the legislature the right number? So all, you know, bad information in, bad information out, that kind of thing?
Well, I'll give you kind of three scenarios. First of all, you could say the school district said, look, you didn't give us enough money for a 3% raise. And so they went up to the legislature and said, hey, we have to pay this because the governor's demanding it. We don't have the money. And so the school district made that its top priority. So, and they said, look, how are we going to get money for columns? We don't even have the money for 3%. That's scenario one. Scenario two, the school district forgot. The school district didn't realize.
Whoa,
that they needed
forgot?
The
column.
That's
forgot?
Scenario two. And I don't think that's accurate because there's documents from April where the school district said columns will cost $30 million. And the legislature didn't provide it. Scenario three is the union was never going to be satisfied. And they were always going to demand more. And so the strike was inevitable because they don't see any downside. No matter how much the legislature provides, they just want more. So pick and choose from those scenarios. My impression is, basically the school district was fighting for the 3% that they were supposed to pay, but the governor didn't provide. And no one gets everything they want, the legislature, and they were happy just to get out of there with that, basically.
What do you expect of those three options? Looking at, you know, the division within the labor movement as far as teachers, the state union versus the local union, the fact that there are a lot of folks that didn't vote for a strike within the teachers union. What do you see happening September 10? Look in your crystal ball.
Well, you know, I previously said I didn't think the union was going to strike. I will reverse that. I think they're going to walk out. I think Velardita, you know, thinks this is some, you know, great move for him. And so I really do think that at the end of the day, the district will go to court and seek an injunction. Jara had an editorial board meeting with the RJ last week, and he said that was a last resort. I think they should be there now. I think they should be in court now, getting their injunction and saying, look, you guys go on strike. We are fining you. We are jailing the leaders, and the strike threat is going to be over. But I think the district will do that. I think they will do that before sometime within the next 2 weeks.
Will they try to decertify? And what are the pros and cons of decertification?
Well, that's just the board decision. The board can, if they have 4 votes to decertify, the union is gone. The pro basically is you don't have the union to deal with. You can implement your plans as a school district. The cons, and I don't believe these, but you know the cons would be. well, you know, you want teachers to have a unified voice. You want them to be able to engage in the collective bargaining process. And I think, you know, that's basically the problem that's gotten us to here. It's not like the district can just pay teachers $25 or, you know, $25,000 a year and be like, oh, we got all this extra money. No, teachers aren't going to stand for that. You still have got to offer an attractive wage. I just think it's going to be structured a little different where, you know, there is a more of a link to accountability with money. And I mean, really the thing the school district should do that they can't do now, they should pay teachers more. They should pay good teachers more to work at failing schools. I mean, right now, if you're a teacher, you've got 10 years of experience, you've got a master's, you're getting paid the same whether you work in Green Valley, Summerlin, or the inner city. And so guess what? You're going to say, I live 2 minutes away from this nice school in Green Valley.
It's a five-star school, by the way.
It's a five-star school. I'm going to work in Green Valley. It's like those are not the schools that need the best teachers. The best teachers are needed in those low-income ELL schools, but there's very little flexibility for the district to say, look, we're going to pay you more. The principal there is going to have the ability to select and to offer incentives for good teachers to come to these lower-performing schools.
If they decertified, and again, this is a big if, would this open the door to the state union coming in here and organizing teachers?
Yeah, so, I mean, another union can come in. If they get 50% of teachers signed up as a member of that union and the board recognizes them, then they would become the bargaining agent. But that would take time. I mean, that would not be an overnight process.
When you say time, 3 months, 5 months, 6 months, a year?
I mean, I would think at least a year. And it's interesting because I don't know how much, you know, reserves CCA would have, because all of a sudden they wouldn't have any dues money coming in, you know, so their staff's getting cut. Whereas the state union can go to the national union and say, look, you know, pay for us to get these teachers organized. And they have those resources. So I think there's a chance if they decertify them. I think there's a good chance that they decertify them. CCA, as we know it, would go away. The leadership would go away. They just wouldn't have the money to keep sustaining themselves.
Wow. So you think there will be a strike?
I do. I mean, a few weeks ago I said there wasn't going to be a strike, so take those predictions for what they're worth. But, I mean, it just really looks like Velardita thinks, you know, they can rally popular sentiment. The other side of the coin is they've never drawn a firm line in the sand on what they want. And so, you know, if the district could make some face-saving offer that doesn't really do anything and the union says, oh, we'll take it because, you know, they know they're too weak. But I really think that Velardita thinks they can pressure them and they can successfully shift the blame onto the district and to state political leaders where it won't, you know, public opinion won't blame them. And so I think he thinks he has a strong hand, and it's up to the district to basically call his bluff and say, look, we have the trump cards. This is illegal. We can go to court and stop it. We can decertify you. And if they use one of those options, the strike's not going to last very long.
I want to ask you just in a final couple of minutes. The president has been abroad, has been in France for the G7. I'm not sure how much you've been able to see of the president. He's had a couple of news conferences, a lot of pomp and circumstance. But he looked pretty presidential and sounded pretty presidential.
You know, he does a good job when he goes overseas. I mean, I think those, you know, really, if he would just get off Twitter, he'd be doing so much better. Although I will say, if he doesn't come back with Greenland, let's face it, the trip was a failure.
Darn it. We were hoping for Greenland.
But, you know, I mean, the end of last week was pretty rough on the Twitter feed. So I think it's good that, you know, he interacts with world leaders, just kind of has that, look, I'm the president. I'm acting presidential. I'm stable, right? A very stable genius. I think those things are only going to help him.
And let's see. We've got Bill Weld. We've got Sanford, the former congressman, governor, South Carolina. You've got Joe Walsh, not the singer, but Joe Walsh, the former congressman, talk show host. He wants to run on the Republican ticket against the president. Is the president going to get a serious primary?
No, absolutely not. I mean, President Trump's approval ratings among Republicans are higher than Reagan's were. I mean, you aren't touching him. And I think it's foolish to try. I mean, I think if you wanted something like that, you somehow have to appeal to his ego that, you know, he shouldn't run for re-election. I think that's the only scenario. Well, obviously, you know, if he dies, that would be another scenario. But other than that, I don't think he's not running. I mean, he's going to be the Republican nominee unless he quits or is incapacitated.
Wow. You have yourself a good week. Great to have you back.
You too. It was a lot of fun.
Good to see your smiling face in the office, and we'll do it again next Monday.
Look forward to it.
I know. We won't do it next Monday.
I know. I'll be off. I don't know about you.
Nah, I'm going to be off too. We'll be on Best Of. In fact, we might just replay this and let them hear you 2 weeks in a row.
There we go. There we go. Hopefully I still have the predictions, same predictions in 1 week.
Yeah. That's Victor Jakes, three-time a week columnist in the Las Vegas Review-Journal. The best of the Sunday shows, I've got it for you. So stick around. Live and local now. For years now, I've been telling you how I love the great smooth taste of Real Water. I also love the convenience and cost savings of their home delivery service. Real Water has upped its game again with Real Water Concentrate. Just a few squirts of the Real Water Concentrate, and you can transform any good purified water into Real Water. To learn more, just go to my website, kevinwallradio.com. That's kevinwallradio.com, and click on the Real Water icon at the top right of the page. Now, you can get Real Water anytime, anyplace, on the go.
Join Nevada Policy and the founder of Prager University, Dennis Prager, in Las Vegas on September 17th. I'm John Sarpolis, president of Nevada Policy. Dennis Prager is a best-selling author, radio host, and founder of Prager University, and he'll be the keynote speaker for Nevada Policy's anniversary dinner, The Spirit of Las Vegas, on September 17th at the Venetian Resort in Las Vegas. PragerU is an online university that promotes the concepts of free markets, individual rights, and American values. With over 1 billion views on YouTube every year, PragerU teaches viewers how free markets, capitalism, and America has enriched everyone's life. So don't miss this evening with Dennis Prager as Nevada Policy celebrates 28 years of working to keep Nevada free and prosperous. Visit nevadapolicy.org/event now to reserve your seat. We'll see you on September 17th for Nevada Policy's anniversary dinner. That's nevadapolicy.org/event.
It's amazing how time flies. Hey, Kevin Wall here, your host on Live and Local Now and the owner of Battleborn Radio Corp. It was just over 3 years ago that I was dragged kicking and screaming into the 21st century. I knew my small business would have to move warp speed into this new digital era. That's when I called Sofa King Creative Group. Locally owned and operated, Sofa King Creative Group designs and manages areas of digital marketing for a wide variety of clients. Their marketing team provides fully integrated solutions, whether you need a company brand, graphic design project, an engaging mobile-friendly website. What I like best about Sofa King Creative Group, they showed me how an increased web presence can mean more profit for my small business. Let the pros at Sofa King Creative Group help you and your small business. Ask for a free analysis of your current marketing strategies. Call 702-965-2016. That's 702-965-2016. Or check them out at SofaKingCreativeGroup.com. That's SofaKingCreativeGroup.com.
America's built and based on liberties and freedoms. Liberty HealthShare brings that to healthcare. The liberty of choosing your own doctor. The liberty of choosing your own hospital. Liberty HealthShare makes healthcare affordable to millions of Americans. Light your liberty. Starting at $199 for a single, $399 for a couple. And no matter how big the family, only $529. That's $529 for the entire family. To find out how you can save, go to lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com.
Hello, this is Jared Fisher. I'm a business owner, community thought leader, and I ran for governor in 2018. As the owner of Las Vegas Cyclery and Escape Adventures, I know the importance of exercise and spending time in the outdoors. And I know the amazing outdoor experiences we have in Nevada. Las Vegas Cyclery has kids bikes, affordable hybrid mountain bikes, and gift cards. We also have a wide variety of the latest e-bikes, which allows anyone to ride a bike, especially for those who want to ride a bike again but have some limitations. For more information, visit LasVegasCyclery.com. We're located at 10575 Discovery Drive at the exit ramp of Town Center and 215. Our phone number is 702-596-2953. And for those of you who are interested in a more extended outdoor experience, visit escapeadventures.com for gift cards and a one-of-a-kind outdoor adventure. Escapeadventures.com.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
I absolutely love it. I absolutely love it. It is so much fun to begin a brand new week. I don't like to begin it by talking a lot about education and the possibility of a teacher strike, but that's what's on the horizon 2 weeks from tomorrow. Coming up, top of the next hour, Scott Hammond, state senator. And we'll find out. His bailiwick is education. And he is smart as a whip when it comes to that. He is not just a spectator. He's a state senator. And we'll get a chance to hear from him what he thinks may or may not happen. I'll be honest with you. I don't know what will happen. One thing I do know is, in fact, let's go to cut five. Because this is Joe Walsh. And Joe Walsh was on MSNBC with Kendis Gibson and essentially the president's tweets being as bad as his. Joe Walsh, who says he wants to run against the president, has a little bit of a problem himself.
No, because again, here, think about this. I probably sent out 40,000 tweets over the course of the last 5 years. Are you going to find 200 to 300 where you say, oh my God, Joe, what were you doing? Why'd you say that? You probably would out of 30,000 tweets. And I'd sit down with you, Kendis. We'd go through every one of those 200 to 300 tweets. And the ones that deserved an apology, I'd apologize. I'd own them all. I don't delete tweets. But here's the difference, Kendis. And let me get this out.
Yeah.
When have you ever heard this president apologize for a damn thing? Never, okay? Never. Now, you can accuse me of I'm weak because I apologize. No, I'm trying to own this stuff.
Do you feel as if you're kind of trying to make up? There are many people who failed as if you were the original birther. Back in 2010,
never.
You know, you were the original Trump before Trump.
That I've heard. Absolutely.
And kind of stoked this whole old sort of birtherism that came along with Trump later on.
Well,
so, do you feel as if that you're trying to make up for the responsibility that we have Trump in the office right now?
Well, 2 points. Never, ever did I engage in birtherism. You rightly, I went after Obama in some ugly ways, but never, ever got into birtherism stuff.
It's kind of veiled by saying that he's last year.
That's a difference. But to your point, Candace, and it's a good one. I wrote a New York Times op-ed piece 2 weeks ago. And one of the reasons I wrote that, I said, Trump's unfit. Somebody's got to challenge him. And I apologize. And I'm looking you in the eyes right now, man. I apologize for my role in putting what I believe is an unfit con man in the White House. Now, what do you want to call that? I voted for him. I'm sorry I voted for him. I'm sorry that it's led to this. I'm sorry that I'm sorry that he's doing what he's doing in the country. Am I the only one that put him in the White House? No, but I helped.
I'm just going to tell you, Joe Walsh is a lightweight and will be destroyed. I don't know. Does this mean we'll end up with Republican debates? I think it'd be, I think the president would welcome it. None of these guys, Bill Weld. No, seriously. Joe Walsh. Sanford, Walsh, and Bill Weld. I don't think they have a chance. No, I'm sorry, but I don't think they do. The party apparatus in most states is controlled by the president. And yes, if you try and pin me down on this, I do think the Republican Party has become the party of Trump. There's just no question about it. I do think that it'll be interesting to see if any of these guys can get any traction at all, because there just is no political oxygen in the room except for Trump's. I'm sorry, but that's the way it is. Coming up, Scott Hammond, state senator. a guy that went from the classroom to the state senate. He knows education. We are on the brink in a little more than 2 weeks of a teacher strike. What is that going to mean to our kids, to your kids? We'll talk about that and more coming up live and local now.
Come celebrate the taste and fresh selection of classic Mexican plates.
You know, everyone in Las Vegas knows when it comes to real Mexican food, there's only one name that comes to mind. Roberto's Taco Shop. Ah, authentic family dishes prepared hot and fresh every day. Like the Chili Colorado Combo, a favorite of mine, made with chunks of savory beef, smothered in a delicious tangy red chili sauce, served with fluffy Mexican-style rice and beans, and a refreshing drink. It's magnifico. Stop in today and be our guest to the best. Roberto's 24-hour taco shop, with 50 convenient locations serving you.
Roberto's Taco Shop. Real Mexican food you like. Oh, yeah.
$7.90 KBET, Winchester, Las Vegas. Talk now.